This is the Nine with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boy, you just try to have a little fun with some predictions and get excited about the return of a sports season, and people are pissed, Jay. I don't know that this is the way we wanted it to start, but today is the unveiling of the SML Entertainment Sportsnet 960 text line, making family time more exciting with pool tables, pinball, ping pong, Beachcomber and Caldera hot tubs and more. Visit smlentertainment.com. A lot of hate for predictions there, Jay.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we read a bunch of them and what you want to talk about. We'll get to that later. I want your predictions. Enough of the guy whose opinions you don't want to hear. That's me. I'm here all day doing it. Every day. You're sick of them. Tell me yours. 960-960 as the NHL season kicks off tonight. But we do lead with Major League Baseball news today. Ben Wagner joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The voice of the Toronto Blue Jays right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Mr. Wagner, good catching up with you. How are you?
Yay, we're doing good. I love stoking a hot stove. A little surprised that it happened on this day, though, right? With hockey kind of lifting the lid, getting underway. But it's always good to talk baseball.
Yeah, Mark Shapiro, we had it in the trending in the last, I believe, hour or so. It's been made public and I believe now official that the president of the Toronto Blue Jays is inked a five-year extension. Mark Shapiro in the fold long term. And I don't think we should necessarily be surprised at this, Ben, given that it is a young club poised for, you know, great times ahead potentially and fresh off a return to the playoffs. This probably was more a matter of when than if.
Yeah, I think, you know, putting a name, a signature on paper is more of a housekeeping thing versus what has unfolded the last couple of years with Mark Shapiro, his direction, his leadership. And while at the forefront of this is the overall product that you see on the field in signing players and developing a system for longevity, which is part of the criteria that he had molded in Cleveland, wanted to take that blueprint, if you will, to Toronto and restock the farm system and see if it could have sustainable success. There are other pieces of this puzzle, too, that Mark Shapiro has a big thumbprint on, and that's all the advancements that he's made at the Rogers Center to improve the fan perspective and fan experience while he's there, the things that they're doing in the offseason, and, of course, things that are happening in Florida, too, and the brand-new player development complex that officially opened late in fall, early winter time. That'll be the nerve center of the entire organization from a player development standpoint. So all of these prongs that come off of the first 5 years with Mark Shapiro, now you're going to have a decade to look at it with the extension that was announced today. And he hinted at it a little bit with us in October going into the playoffs, sidestepped a lot of the questions that you kind of asked about a contract extension, if he was worried, if he's looking elsewhere, which that was also part of the conversation. You know, the New York Mets had a lot of turnover. They were doing things out west, and Mark Shapiro's name was bantered about, but I don't think it ever got that serious. And Mark has been very much on point over the last couple of years as these questions have come up that he wants to stay in Toronto. He wants to see the job through, and 5 years is a big commitment. From Rogers Communications, the Rogers family, period, and one that Mark, I really believe, hasn't thought of doing anything else along the way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And all of a sudden, we got news amid the pandemic of a new stadium that has been worked on behind the scenes, a big real estate play mixed in with a new stadium, and that might be further along than we ever could have imagined because publicly we'd heard nothing. There's still a full plate here, even though, yes, Ross Atkins is your day-to-day GM. You talk about modernizing spring training, I guess really embracing statistics and sort of the way the game is now being scouted and the way organizations are now run. There's a ton there.
There's a ton there, and not to knock prior leadership, and honestly, even owners prior to Rogers Communications, the investment in sports science was never made. And the facility upgrades that were so desperately needed, not only for the last 5 years, I mean, really the last 20 to 25 years. If you talk to people that have been around here a long time, the spring training facility, first and foremost, was not really one that players were that excited to come down to train to get ready for a season, let alone have to come to Florida for injury rehab, let's say. You know, it was not a destination that people were excited about. And what Mark did when he presented himself to leadership is said, these are the advancements, not only in baseball, but in sport. So just a prime example here is if you look at what they were able to do in the player development complex, they sought out not only resources from other major league teams and what they have done recently and football, and they went to Europe and they looked at the top flight soccer facilities, and they talked to people at all the Power Five conferences. They visited a lot of their facilities for basketball and football while they were in these incredible college towns, but looking at their facilities and what they were using, their own scientists on campus, you know, to promote the sports science to make their products better. And that's why you see this very interesting mix of people that have been brought on board behind the scenes by Mark Shapiro and the people that he's hired and under his direction, you know, trying to cast this franchise into present day. You know, instead of being, you know, one of the two or three worst facilities in spring training, having the Rogers Center be, well, Toronto is an amazing city. There are a lot of players and coaches, you know, that aren't excited about coming to Toronto to be at the Rogers Center for 4 or 5 days in a row. So he's trying to make advancements and do things and get everything back up to speed where, again, you know, you're only going to build your brand more by making a destination for players once they hit free agency. And that's what we're seeing now. And Rogers Center 2.0, if there is going to be a ballpark in the future, and while that is years down the line, now we know, you know, the roadmap in the next 5 years could be a significant step to making sure that happens in the core of Toronto.
Yeah, you're not wrong on the long-term thing there. The Flames are set to break ground on a new, I think, what, around 18,500-seat arena following Stampede this summer, if that goes. Fingers crossed, that'd be nice. And they, I believe, are thinking fall of 2024. So imagine a much bigger facility and not even having started the process yet publicly in Toronto. So no doubt there's a lot there. Let's get to this season, this offseason. And where the club's at now with the latest moves, it feels like, you know, first off, I don't think that this management team with Shapiro and Atkins get much in the way of breaks or sympathy. They replaced a wildly popular GM. I think they've done an excellent job at rebuilding the pipeline and putting a contender back on the field last year with a playoff team. But there just isn't a sentimental love for the pair for whatever reason amongst a significant portion of the fan base. But it feels like people are ready to call the offseason a loss when I would suggest three of the best five free agents still are out there.
No, I totally agree with you. If you're going to call it a loss from the Blue Jays' perspective in the offseason, you just labeled more than half of Major League Baseball as a loss in what they were apparently not able to do in this offseason. There's still so much out there. And the big three free agents that are left, and then you get into that next tier free agents that are available. And, you know, credit where credit's due. The last 3 or 4 years, the Blue Jays have done an incredible job of getting those mid-tier free agents signed at next to nothing. And they have become valuable pieces of bullpen, a rotation, plug-and-play position players. That's where this scouting department and baseball operations department, for a large part, have done a really good job of being able to flip those guys on 1 or 2 year deals into something and help stock that farm system. But when you look at the free agents that are out there and available, while the Blue Jays were hot and heavy early and getting to tables and getting guys on Zoom calls where they could visit with Shapiro and Atkins, and Charlie Montoyo's been a part of almost all of these, there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of interest coming from the free agents first, exploring what the Toronto Blue Jays are doing. And to their credit and the representation's credit, they're going to make sure they meet with as many teams as possible. And that's why you saw the die down around the holidays. And now things starting to pick back up moving into the new year with so much uncertainty about what that new year means. Are we reporting February 1st or are we going to report on March 15th? Nobody knows right now. But the good news is if you read the tea leaves, the guys like Trevor Bauer, the guys like DJ LeMahieu, George Springer, who's going to want years and dollars first and foremost, those guys are kind of circling back to the Toronto Blue Jays because they now understand the market, and now their interest on dollars and years also is starting to line up with what the future looks like for some of these franchises. And the Blue Jays' future is the exact moment you want to get these guys in the next 4 or 5 years.
So there's two schools of thought on it. They have money to spend. They're eager to improve their roster. They are doing what most Major League Baseball teams are not doing, which is expanding their payroll. And there's a hunger to get better. But there's, do you stick to your valuations and wait for the inevitable deals? Or do you push the issue now and maybe go beyond a number that you're absolutely comfortable with to try to get something done today for fear of missing out on, say, Bauer, say, LeMahieu, say, Real Muto?
I think there are a couple of guys that you would push the envelope on and maybe get outside the comfort zone, which if you look at how this organization, talking about specifically the Blue Jays, operate, they don't leave their comfort zone and where they firmly believe they can max out. They rarely, rarely do that. I think George Springer, just talking to people in the organization that I know, would be one of those guys that they would take a little bit further of a step outside the parameters that were laid out early in the fall and through the winter in these negotiations, if they were pushed to that point. Is DJ LeMahieu that guy? Maybe a little bit. I don't know that there's a big crop of those individuals, but there might be one or two guys. But I still think that the Blue Jays will not make only one big splash. I think that they've got the wiggle room to make a couple of big splashes when it comes to the free agents. So the overall bulk of the dollars to invest is absolutely there. And if you've paid attention to what Steve Cohen's doing in New York now as the new Mets owner, the new ownership group that's in Kansas City, there are owners that are willing to spend. There are a lot of owners that are crying poor and how devastating this whole situation this past year have been. And that is true. And it's true for a lot of people individually as well. But there is money to invest within the game, and owners have the ability to do it. And it's nice to see that the Blue Jays have not sidestepped that whatsoever and can go to the table and make a big play if they want to make a big play. But I think, again, that there are a couple of free agents out there that the Blue Jays would be willing to really look at it and maybe step a little bit further out of the comfort zone than what they were originally planning doing in the fall.
What's your dream scenario? Lay it out for me. They obviously could use upgrades in the rotation, the infield, the outfield, the bullpen, and behind the plate. That leaves everything on the table.
Yeah, that's too much work to do, right? That's too much work to do in one offseason. The dream scenario for me would be better up the middle. You got to get one more starter, definitely. You got to get a starter and then build behind the depth from there. I would love to see George Springer as part of this organization and in some combination of a DJ LeMahieu or JT Realmuto behind the plate. That is right up the middle. I don't worry about, you know, shifting players around. Guys will get over that, especially now that Lindor's off the table. But those are my three targets plus a starting pitcher. And I think the starting pitcher thing's a wild card, right? Because there is so much that needs to be given back from a player perspective on that, and guys have to want to come here. But just talking with the Blue Jays over the last couple of years on the field, for example, a move like George Springer would be an impact addition. You know, he's already revered in that clubhouse for his work and what he's done and the body of work that he's done it in Houston. And I know our baseball operations people love George Springer. And seeing DJ LeMahieu, somebody that's excited about the Blue Jays, and the major improvement that JT Realmuto could do and run prevention and the way he calls a game, plus he's an impact bat. I mean, those are significant upgrades to a lineup that really stretches it out and leaves a lot less holes.
Good catching up. I imagine you're probably nearby Tampa, the Lightning home opener. They will not have fans there, but will you be watching on TV?
Yeah, I've been working the dial pretty good the last couple of days between football, all the hockey conversations. Obviously, that's at the forefront right now. Lightning are over the bay. Obviously, the Raptors are in my backyard when they're down here and playing their home games. So there's definitely a lot of buzz in this Tampa area. Plus, you know, Tampa's going to host the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks too. So that'll be really interesting. It's a fun place to live right now.
We'll see you later, man. Appreciate it on short notice. All the best. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Thanks, Bender.
Ben Wagner, play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Sportsnet 960 and across the Sportsnet radio network. Yeah, he indeed joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. What can I tell you? Well, hey, look, we're not really out and about, but when you're sick and tired of cooking, You can call them for takeout and delivery, 403-248-3344, Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Snow Show coming back, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is The 9 with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All of our broadcasts here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan do come to you live on the from the iconic Downtown Studios, brought to you by Iconic Electric and Controls. Expertise, it's iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Heard a little whisper of snow on the way in the mountains, and appropriate on a Wednesday, it's time for the Snow Show.
Ryan Pinder's Snow Show is brought to you by Lou's Performance Center. Make your ski experience all that it can be with skis, boots, and accessories, which are custom fit to your needs and performance. Details at lou's.ca.
All right, out we go to Banff Norquay to chat about one of the closer resorts to Calgary, and pleased to have on Andre Quenneville, the general manager of Norquay. How are you, Andre?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday. Am I right? Do we have snow on the way? Are you watching the forecasts here?
Well, yeah, we watch it always, and not only do we have it on the way, we got over 16 centimeters last night.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. I was impressed. I saw an email in, boy, was it late October, early November, the earliest start in like almost a century or ever at Norquay this year?
Yeah, for sure. October 24th was pretty early. We've already been open over 75 days.
How has the season been, and how would you, I guess, for people that have been or haven't, just put this season in context to others given that historical start?
Well, I think people are definitely keen to get outdoors and enjoy the outdoors. And our guests have been really open to the new procedures in place, and they've embraced them. So, you know, everyone's been having a good time outdoors and enjoying the snow, and we hope to continue to do so.
Yeah, it's a common theme. All the resorts you've chatted to over the course of the season, it feels like, okay, so maybe you are competing for consumer dollars, but everyone's on the same page with COVID protocols and safety, and that it is a united front, that there's no messing around, and that everyone does seem to understand the importance of this when they're coming out to ski, and that it isn't really that much of a pain in the butt. If you've got a face covering and a lift line, it's usually not plus 30. It's not going to be stifling, right?
No, not at all. And we've had quite nice temperatures this year so far. I mean, we haven't had any major cold snaps. It's been relatively beautiful out, you know, some snow in between and some sunshine and warm temps. It's been great for skiing.
Yeah, no question. Tell us about the hill and what makes it unique and special. Your proximity to Banff is incredible. You could almost skip or jump there, I swear.
Absolutely. We're minutes away from Banff. And I mean, my favorite runs are the ones where you ski down and you're just staring at the town and staring at Mount Rendell. It's amazing. But what makes Banff Norquay unique is we have other activities as well, such as snow tubing and then summertime, obviously, via Frodo and things like that. But for the winter right now, we're 100% open. All our terrain is open. Conditions are amazing. Our tubing park's open and, you know, restrictions in place, but still plenty of outdoors to enjoy.
What are some of the things people need to know if they're heading out to ski Banff Norquay? I know a lot of places this year are saying no sales on site, no queues and lines there. Buy ahead online. Is that the case with you guys?
Yeah, well, it's always best to check the website. And if you know you're coming out, for sure, pre-purchase your lift ticket so you're not disappointed. You know, midweek, there's not as many people out, so we can sell you a lift ticket most likely. But on weekends when it's busy, your best to be organized and prepared, and then we know you're coming. So we know how many people we're going to have, and we can manage that and make it safe for everyone.
Any events or, I guess, things of note that can continue? I know this has been a lot of adapting on the fly with COVID, but you guys are outdoors. There's probably not a better place to get an activity in and be socially distanced than on a ski hill.
Yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, events you know, such as speed dating and things like that aren't going to be happening this year on our lifts. But, you know, we're seeing how things evolve here, and we'll try to get some events off the ground when we can.
And what about different range levels? If you've got, be it skill or age, tell us about the mountain. How does it divide up between the greens, the blues, and the blacks?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have some of the, you know, well-known terrain on the North American Chair, which is named that because it was the steepest terrain when it was first skied. since the late 40s. But since then, we've developed a lot of beginner terrain. I mean, we've got great green runs where people can learn how to ski. Our snow school instructors are still providing lessons, albeit private and not in large groups or anything like that. But they're out there. They can get you started. Rental equipment's available. And if you're not quite sure about skiing yet, obviously snow tubing is no experience required.
Yeah, and a ton of fun too. Okay, BanffNorquay.com for more info. Anything else, Sandra, you'd like to add?
Well, lots of snow overnight, more in the forecast, and you know, things are looking great. So come and enjoy the outdoors.
All right, we look forward to that. Thank you, Andre. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Andre Quenneville, the GM for Banff Norquay, BanffNorquay.com for more. There's your snow show.
Ryan Pinder's Snow Show is brought to you by Lou's Performance Center. Make your ski experience all that it can be with skis, boots, and accessories which are custom fit to your needs and performance. Details at Lou's.ca.
Some time to read some texts and a Pinder report when we come back. Sports at 960 The Fan.
This is The 9 with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
NHL season opens tonight. We'll have more on that in the Pinder report. Also, the final cuts and the 130-plus players on waivers. There were four claims. I'll tell you about those in the Pinder report. But first to the text line for SML Entertainment. Making family time more exciting with pool tables, pinball, ping pong, Beachcomber and Caldera hot tubs and more. Visit smlentertainment.com. You know what is a big hit at the Pinder House amongst the young men these days?
Mm-hmm.
Foosball table.
Love the foosball.
Santa somehow, that son of a gun, fit that thing right on in the sack. Rudolph and the gang brought her down the chimney, and we got a little, I feel like it's a young adult. No, it's an infant foosball table. It's a small one.
You know what my kid
not
is
grown up yet.
An absolute shark at is the, you know, like the little slingshot hockey? You get your little wooden thingy and you're slinging the little pucks into the other person's little area.
Ooh, okay.
He is like a monster game? At this. Cannot be beat.
Really?
Yeah, it's insane.
Hmm.
I love the foosball, too. Are you laying the rules down with the foosball? Like, you don't spin that thing.
No spins?
Nope.
And, yeah, one of them gets the no spins. The other one always tries to sneak one in. That's how they go. You can't just be throwing the ball in anywhere. It's got to go in through the hole at the side.
Right there.
Right at the center of the field. You can't be throwing them into the net as dropping them in. That doesn't
work.
Yeah,
the soccer ball
way.
in the World Cup does not fall from the sky.
That's right. It's got to go in the middle of the field. It doesn't start at the penalty spot. No. Also, goalie goals worth two. Sorry, guys. Those are the rules. Oh. Deal with it. Especially when Dad gets them. Worth two. Undefeated still, Jeff.
That's two. That's two there.
Okay, Dad. All right.
To the text line for SML Entertainment, we did a bunch of predictions today, and that always makes people angry. Hey, guys, I believe the top three teams in the North Division will be Toronto, Calgary, and Montreal. The fourth spot is up for grabs, but I think ultimately the Canucks will take it, although it'll be a tight battle between the Canucks, Oilers, and Jets for that fourth spot. Goaltending and defense will be key, and I don't think the Oilers have either. Jets have a goaltender, but not enough defensive depth. I think the Canucks have enough depth at goal at defense. Look, all the forecasters, this is very close. I saw seven different models, people using data to guess how the season goes, and all of them had just an absolute sandwich teams 2 through 6 in the North rammed together. I like Calgary's overall depth. I don't like that Vancouver deleted a number one goaltender who was their MVP the last two seasons, and I don't like that Toffoli's gone. I do like the pickup of Nate Schmidt. I don't like the Oilers missing Klefbom for a full year for their playoff chances. I don't like that they didn't improve on a tandem that was incredibly shaky in the postseason. I don't like the Jets' blue line that much, but I love their forward group and their goalie. All these teams have warts, right? For the Flames, it's like, well, if Johnny and Mott are going to look like that, how good are you? Well, they put a lot of depth around him. Toronto is the most skill on paper, but we've seen that skill on paper not amount to much in postseasons for the last while. They got something to prove. I think this is a very much a competitive division with maybe one elite team, but more likely a lot of parity and a lot of teams in the middle of the road. With more on tonight's NHL opening action and yesterday's NHL roster move, it's time for the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Don't trust your BMW to just anyone. Motorworks has the latest BMW tools and software for diagnostics and repairs without dealer's prices. On 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Waivers, taxi squads, cuts, firings in the NFL, coronavirus, it's all inside the Pinder Report. We start, though, with the Calgary Flames, gentlemen. Decision day yesterday. Final scrimmage was on Monday. What are they going to do? How many on the taxi squad? What about Shillington on waivers? Who's going to take Derek Ryan? Well, fear not, friends. The 20-man roster is set to start the season for the Flames. They will use a 5-man taxi squad, at least out of the gate. No spare players. The bare minimum for a game day would be 20. 12 forwards, 6D. Two goaltenders, no surprises. The 12 forwards, at least to start. Everyone we've been talking about, minus Derek Ryan, who's on the taxi squad. And the blue line, the six we've been talking about, minus Shillington, who's on the taxi squad. And, of course, your two goalies, there was never a doubt. Markstrom and Riddick will start the season in net. The pairs up front we've been getting familiar with. There's been a lot of time. Tkachuk and Lindholm have spent together. Ditto, Mangiapane, Backlund. Also, Monahan, Gaudreau still together. And it seems like Sam Bennett at center ice to start the season could be a thing. He and Lucic had that great playoff run together. Would they start together? Or do we see Ryan right back into the lineup tomorrow night anyway, coming off the taxi squad? We shall see. Zach Rinaldo also cleared waivers. He joins the taxi squad, and Connor Mackey's made the team. The team with the taxi squad, and it'll be on said taxi squad. He looks like he'll start the season serving as the team's seventh defenseman. Deming, your third goalie. Do we expect Ryan in, Dino, on tomorrow night? I mean, they can do that. That's kind of the idea.
I kind of do, I think.
Yeah.
I kind of think that they might swap he and Nordstrom, depending. I don't know.
Sure.
Because, again, there's no – if you were going to do it, now's the time to do it. You don't have to worry about waivers and that. And I'm sure it might go a little ways in trying to if there's some hurt feelings, to maybe kind of tap those down a little bit for Derek Ryan. Because the guy can't be happy. Of course, you're going to make the same money. And don't worry. Like Treliving tried to paint it yesterday. You're a member, everyone's a member of the Flames. So yeah. But there's the team, and then there's the taxi squad.
Yeah, he can still play all 56 in theory. There's nothing saying he won't with that. But also, every day he's not on the NHL roster, they're accruing cap space.
So let me ask you this. If things were not the way they are, and it probably he would be the extra forward, would it have been the same way?
If who was the extra forward?
I'm just saying, if roster sizes, you weren't going to just keep 20 if there was no taxi squad.
Right,
we were in a regular.
He's making the 12 team. I think. Never mind 13. It's just that this taxi squad allows teams to game the cap a little, and when you only have less than a quarter of a million of cap space to start the year, you're going to try to get as much as you can. So mm-hmm. they, I believe, have 10 games or 30 days to put them back and forth as they please, after which you'd have to clear waivers again. So it's not all year necessarily, and he might not get through waivers later in a year when injuries happen and cap space opens up for other clubs. But to start, they have the flexibility with Ryan to move him back and forth.
Do you think he goes?
Yeah, I think you do. I think he's their best option at fourth line center. So, yeah, I do.
Got to tell Benny he's not playing center again.
Well, you know.
Benny, I got some good news.
This year we're going to give him a defined role.
You're playing. Just you're playing back in the wing.
Let's see. Let's see. Not expecting the Flames to use such a small roster the whole year, Dean. We talked about it a little earlier. They will use their taxi squad to provide insurance from COVID, but they don't really need that yet, given that they can just move an AHLer from Calgary onto the taxi squad like that. Once the players get to Stockton, you end up getting into quarantines and massive delays. That's when I would expect to see a bigger roster of 22, maybe 23 guys, plus a full taxi squad. We'll see. The date on that, by the way, is Feb 5, if it happens or where it happens. It's supposed to be Stockton.
Now, just for clarity, and this is for me because I missed him, and I don't know if you had. Did you have Buddy Robinson on the taxi squad?
I did not mention his name.
That's on me. He is there as well. Buddy Robinson III, apparently. He is the third.
That's not even, yeah. There you go.
He's the third?
There's three of them. Yeah. There's three of them. Two pre-buddies before this iteration. So, yeah, they are at the full six.
It's a bloody about it.
Mackey, Ryan, Rinaldo, Robinson, Shillington, Domingue. So there
full
you go.
Taxi. Yeah. Full taxi, full cap gaming. If they could keep it this way for the whole season, they'd clear up $2 million bucks in cap space. And that's a significant player at the deadline, isn't it? Now they won't necessarily be able to do that, but that you can see what they're trying to accomplish if you look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
Because right now you can't add a player for $233,000 of cap space, which is where they would be at if they had 23 and no taxi squad. The seasonal by the way, practice this morning. We'll see what lines look like. Mm. We've seen that rotating cast of guys on the right side of the pairs we've come to know. Where is Dubé? Where is Levo? Where is Simone? Where is Nordstrom? Where is Bennett, if Ryan's in? So we'll look for that this morning before their flight to Winnipeg.
That's it! Back to Winnipeg!
Yeah, back where they were for the play-in series. That
I know what well. I would like to see. I know what I would like.
Well, tell me.
Give me some Dubé with that Lindholm-Kachuk trio. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Get him right in
I would like
there.
To see him there or with Monahan and Gaudreau. Mm-hmm. That's, like, utilize that guy's skill, speed, and puck-carrying ability. Go.
I know that we're somewhat excited or whatever for Josh Levo, but for you'd be fine with Backlund and Mangiapane. I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay
he's
with that.
Played that role before in terms of more of a checking line, for sure.
But I want Dubé in that top six. Let's go.
Yep, cool. With you on that. Season starts tonight. Here are your five games. 3:30, Penguins, Flyers. Like that. Flyers, slight favorites, Dean, if you want Penguins getting...
Oh. Have you become a D-gen? Like,
I looked at the odds. It's just info, you know. Collect information, make better decisions. The Habs and Leafs are -135.
Because I feel like a lot of these numbers are either off the top of your head or something you've made definite notes of.
Now, if you're looking for value, how about this? The Stanley Cup champs in their season opener the next year have lost 7 of their last 10, and the Lightning are -240. So would you jump on the Hawks? Oilers are favored against the Canucks. We've got news on the Canucks later on that's not good for them in the short term. Oilers slight favorites at home. And the Avs -145 to the Blues. But might take a little shot at the Blues there. We'll see. Other news from yesterday, it was a massive waiver day. Remember yesterday we were talking about 130 players on waivers? Just 4 claims. Lucas Spezza.
Yeah.
Who does he have nude photos of? Oh, he's going to Nashville. Okay. Eric Comrie to New Jersey. Now, that was something we were looking for. New Jersey needed a goalie after Corey Crawford retired very quickly. He did the old Abe Simpson, come on in, take your hat off, go grab your hat, go right back out. Thanks for signing. See you later. Have a good one, guys. I'm gone.
Was he whistling while he did it? Was Crawford whistling like Abe?
Yeah. He was muttering about wooden coins. Eric Comrie, he's got obviously the best shot at being the backup to Blackwood after the claim. Anton Forsberg returns to Carolina. He did the same Abe Simpson routine in Edmonton, right back to where he was a year ago. And Rudolph Balcer is back to where he was. He was part of that Carlson deal, San Jose and Ottawa. And now he's back in San Jose after a waiver claim. Those are the only 4. We were worried about Chillington and Ryan. Well, some people were. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Other news around the league. The Bruins are going to retire Willie O'Ree's number 22, Feb 18th in Boston in 1958. He was the first black player to play in the league. Good on the Bruins for doing that. Canucks have signed former Flame Travis Hamonic. Now, remember last year? I think the Flames probably have room for one of Brody or Hamonic. And midseason, I think the parties are talking. We'll see what an extension looks like. Maybe 3-4 years, somewhere in that, 3 to 4.5 range. 1.125 for Hamonic, 1-year deal.
Whether or not there was anything to it, we had heard a 4x4 being kind of thrown around. Now, that could have been an absolute pipe dream by the agent. But a Hamonic extension was going to cost to the tune of 4 years at $4 million per.
Safe to say there wasn't any midseason conversations about a 1-year, $1.25 million deal. That the money was likely triple and the term 3 to 5 years.
Canucks ecstatic, I would think. How bad can he be for $1.25 million?
Oh, that is a miss.
What's the miss?
Explain.
The agent?
Well,
the agent.
Both. The Flame, like if the Flames could add him for that, other teams, I mean, I think that's huge value at 1.25, but I feel sick for him.
Yeah. Ditto for Sammy Vatanen, who wanted to get $4 to $5 million in 4 to 5 years on October the 9th and ended up settling a 1-year, $2 million deal. Play well and you're back in the market. That's the good news.
Because remember remember in New York, Hamonic, it was this what a bargain, this low cap hit. He's could be making far more. Then finally gets to the market and takes a $2 million pay cut.
and didn't get turned.
Whoops.
So now
it ain't
going to
go up.
Well.
I'm sorry. He's getting older. Next year ain't going to be better for him.
And like they, like Burke tells us every time we have him on, the cap's not going up, boys. The cap's not going up. Not like there's going to be a
probably 4 or 5 years
ton of more money out there. So yeah, I do feel for him for sure.
And I hate to open the bag up for Pinder's backpack, but his opinion of the Tanev deal was already in question, and now I'm just wondering what that means for poor Chris Tanev as far as Ryan Pinder's backpack goes. Back.
Stay healthy, play well. We won't have to talk about it, but that's been harder and harder as he's aged.
I don't know if he plays, even if he plays well, $3 million more?
Oh, no, there's no question. If you were willing to wait until a week ago to sign Sammy Vatanen, sure, but it's just tough to imagine a GM playing a game of chicken with one right shot defenseman for 3 months of free agency.
If prior, on the eve of free agency, if Hamonic said, look, I want to stay, let's do 1 year at 1.25. Like, the Flames are doing that, right? Like, the Flames, yes, okay, sounds great.
Yeah, these are not the deals that were on the table in October, not even November, probably not even December. Yeah. We're in January and I need a job. Get me into the league so I can get back to where I need to be. The good news is going to be paired with Quinn Hughes, who played with Tanev and got him that big deal. So maybe it happens again. Other news, Marcus Foligno in the Wild, a 3-year extension, $9.33 million. Yes, he's the brother. Keith Yandel's Ironman's streak is in jeopardy, Dean. Three seasons remaining at $6.35 million. Full no move. 34 years old. And had 45 points in less than 70 games last year. That's sounds like a power play specialist, but his 866 consecutive games, the longest active Ironman streak in the league, and fourth longest of all time, looks like it's going to be coming to a halt soon as they're set to healthy scratch the veteran defender with only around $19 million owed left on the deal.
Someone, and I feel like it's not Yandel because he's making 6.35, barring a buyout of some sort. But he's making his money. I feel badly for him that the Ironman thing has to come to an end, because it's going to. But at the same time, if you are Florida, and I kind of believe, because what is it, Bill Zito's the GM there now? Kind of feel like he's maybe got a bit of a...
Not his deal.
An image as to what he wants his team to look like. And I can understand why it might not include Keith Yandel at 6.35, but... Yep. I don't know. Those are the hard conversations that need to be had.
The problem is you can't put that anywhere.
No.
You can't even put him on the taxi squad and save $1 million cap space. He's going to move.
No, you need him to...
You're stuck with that. Sorry, Bill.
Buffling himself or something.
Yeah.
Just quit.
Can't even send him to the minors like Louis Erickson. Well, the Canucks, I guess, aren't doing that either.
No, yeah.
Eugene Melnyk had a lovely couple tweet fails yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
My name is Eugene.
Eugene.
Hey. Yes, just hours after tweeting about a very, very robust health plan and stiff protocols to get as many as 6,000 fans into the archaic library in Canada, Eugene was deleting tweets, backpedaling, and talking about now is not the time. Just another day in Ottawa and a very, very functional organization, Dean.
Hey, what's happening?
Eugene's got a Eugene. That's what he's got to do.
Shooting for the Stanley Cup. Love it. No
That's
less.
Right. Yeah, no less. Yeah. No less than the Stanley. You might be the worst team in the league.
I feel like the only thing Eugene hasn't done is like hold a press conference in front of a Four Seasons landscaping place and have ink running down the side of his face. Like, that's all he needs now to be a complete buffoon. That's all he needs now.
It's going to be tough to eclipse the entire hockey world's focused on this centennial outdoor game, and you talk about moving your franchise, but if anyone could do it, it would be Eugene.
He's a cool dude in a loose mood.
Hey, two ginger ales for my girls.
Ginger ales.
Yeah. I think he has a tanning bed at home, too. That profile, he's very, very swarthy. Getting lots of sun. Healthy. Vitamin D, Dean. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Coronavirus, we're going to be talking about it. Over 12,000 tests have been administered by the league during training camps, December 30 to Jan 11. Here's your data. 9 out of 31 teams have had the virus around. Dallas Stars, hardest hit by a mile. They've got 17 players alone getting positives. The good news, most of them are asymptomatic and players are recovering without complication. Their first three games wiped from the slate so far. They had a back-to-back with Florida and a back-to-back with Tampa. The first three of those four games gone. They're hoping to play next Tuesday. That's the second of two against Tampa Bay. Canucks won't be bringing Jordy Benn or JT Miller to Alberta. They're already here. They're playing the Oilers tonight. They're not here. Opening road trip. Coronavirus fears. Sounds like Jordy Benn, and JT Miller was rooming up with him in Vancouver. Both in quarantine. Could be at least a week and maybe two before they return to the lineup. Miller's an integral part of that team. Traded a first to get him. Big part of their top six. And Jordy Benn, well, he's on the team.
So, when reached for comment, the mother, Heather Benn, says she's very proud of Jamie, but says sometimes she wishes he had a brother.
Feels harsh.
And get used to it, right? This is how it's going to be. Teams are going to show up in visiting cities like, oh, where's so-and-so?
Jordy Benn, definitely not Jamie.
Oh, dear.
Don't ask.
More info coming today, says Jimbo.
It's not important.
Have to check in with Jimbo later.
Yeah.
NFL, more firings.
You're fired!
Just a few days removed from an anemic performance against the Rams, Seattle offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer. Well, it was philosophical differences, Dean, as he parts ways with the Ocean Birds. Meanwhile, their GM, John Schneider, extended through 2027. Oh, there's some job security.
Isn't that Bo Duke? From the Dukes of Hazzard, John Schneider, isn't that?
There is a resemblance there. Yes,
that's Luke's brother. Nicely.
Yeah.
Or were they cousins? Were Bo and Luke Duke brothers, and Daisy was the cousin? How does that work?
Don't be kissing your cousin.
Come on, Red, help me out.
I believe that is correct, Dean.
They were the good old boys, never meaning no harm. I know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Roscoe couldn't stand him. And don't get the boss hog going about the Duke boys. But I can't really. I don't recall how that works.
All it took was the Detroit Lions expressing interest in the GM,
John Schneider,
and then he got his new deal.
Sorry.
And Pete Carroll, 11 years together, nine trips to the postseason. That's an impressive run, punctuated with a Super Bowl win in there, too.
Should have had two, maybe.
Maybe use Marshawn Lynch from the one. There's a chance you could have two, yeah. Better than a coin toss, I'd suggest.
Sneaky attack.
And meanwhile, in Chicago, it appears the Bears are poised to keep head coach Matt Nagy and GM Ryan Pace in the fold for the 2021 season. The Bears were a schizophrenic 8-8 this year. They started 5-1 before losing 6 in a row. And then they righted the ship just in time to make the playoffs where they were pounded by the Saints. But there's still going to be major change for the organization. They reportedly, it's hard to say it, will seek a new starting quarterback. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
The new quarterback they'll be looking for. And the Bears will be saying goodbye to defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano. He retires after 18 years of coaching in the NFL. The last two running that Bears defense. 6 years. He was the head coach of the Colts.
He was a treat. His press conferences were always great.
One, he famously had to recover from, I believe, was it cancer early
in his
Indianapolis career? And that opened the door for Frank Reich, I think. Or was it Frank Reich or somebody else? But yeah, it's quite a road. 18 years. Good for him. Kick your feet up. Do nothing for a while. Those coaches work too hard. NBA, few notes here.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it.
He's going to dunk it. Still no timetable for a Kyrie Irving return to the Nets lineup. NBA is investigating videos of the star guard gathering at a party without a mask. It was not a flat earth convention, Dean, but apparently a birthday party for a family member. He's missed the last three games for personal reasons. Yeah, last night he missed two. And, that league fine of $50,000 really going to sting. I'm sure he's got one of those coming. Two games canceled tonight. Magic, Celtics, Jazz, Wizards won't play. And there's more games this week where there's looking like they probably won't play as well. Already six games postponed in the NBA. Six. Doubleheader tonight on Sportsnet 360. Bucks, Pistons at 5. Pelicans, Clippers at 8. And, finally we do have some positive news about fans returning to sport. As April 5th to 11th, we'll head down to Georgia. Check in where Dustin Johnson will be looking to defend his first green jacket.
That's right. Emotional one for Dustin, as I recall last year.
Augusta National set to allow limited patrons for the 2021 Masters this spring. And if they're looking for volunteers, Rhett and I'd be happy to have some of those comfy fold-up chairs and a cooler full of beer. Put us on any hole. We're here to help.
What if you had to hold one of those quiet signs? Holding up the quiet signs.
Would I'd rather sit and drink beer, Dave.
I can't do it.
Shoulders are here.
Shoulder? Yeah.
Maybe a cheese pimento sandwich.
But your arms are so long, Rhett. Like, everyone would see it. I know. He's so high.
I can't get him up there.
I'm too thirsty to hold that sign that high.
I can't. I got one bad armpit. I can't wash it. Can't get over there.
You what?
Don't want to smell that. Put your arm down. Wow. That's your Pinder report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Don't trust your BMW to just anyone. Motorworks has the latest BMW tools and software for diagnostics and repairs without dealer's prices. On 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Rhett, are you ever going to go and get the thing out of the garage? I asked you to move that thing the other day. So much space.
Yeah, I asked you to take that to the post office. It needs to get in the mail this week. It's not going to get there. Rhett, did you call your brother? He called here five times. I'm sick of him calling here.